I want Bishop King to stand in order that we may see him.
Speaker for this chapel service. After the meditation, he will come with the message.
Ask a question after presenting Bishop King. If there were any other bishops in the group out there, certainly there are potential bishops in this group present before me this morning. If I didn't really believe that, I wouldn't want to be here. I feel that this is a high moment in my life to come for the first time into this chapel to meet with the student body of ITC. I have known the constituent bodies comprised this school for some time, one of which, of course, I've been a little closer to than the others. But here you are beginning a new era, a new tradition. Here you are beginning that which most of us feel will have a great impact upon the total life of the American community. I feel privileged to speak to you, young men and young women particularly, who are here preparing yourself for leadership in the Christian church. Great responsibility falls upon you and me and all of us who endeavor to lead people aright in days like these. I tried to think through some of the things that I might say to you this morning, and a passage came to me from Joshua, where Caleb says to the assembled elders, "Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." You know that story. In the wandering through the wilderness, and all the vicissitudes that attended that travel, the Exodus, on toward the Holy Land, the sending of the 12 spies to see the land into which they were going, and the return of those spies and the report which was made. 10 of those men standing and saying, "We can't take that country." And he described it, the nature of the men, the cities, the stature of the men, the walled cities, even the fruit of the land, saying, "We were but as grasshoppers in their sight." But two men still the multitude said, "We can possess. Let's go up at once. We can take the land. Let us go up at once and possess." But they were not listened to. And so for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and then they come once again to the borders of this land which God had promised them. Well, now, in other days, Moses had the responsibility. But now Joshua had the responsibility. And he was a little bit uneasy about the prospects that lay ahead of him. And you remember he was praying very hard as he knew what was before him. And then there appeared unto him one in bright garments. And he said, "How have you come? Have you come to lead us?" Then when he remembered that this apparition coming to him to tell him what God was expecting of him, he took courage. And after they had crossed over the Jordan and conquered most of the land and the distribution was being made, Caleb stood up. He who had been so brave before now said, "Give me this mountain, Hebron, the difficult land." He might have chosen the valleys, rich and so on, but he said, "Give me this mountain." I want you to think in terms of the challenge of the difficult. The challenge of the difficult. In these days in which we are living so often, we are thinking in terms of creature comforts. We're thinking in terms of things. We're thinking in terms of what the world thinks of as making for greatness. But the challenge is just as strong before you today as it was before Caleb when he made his choice. It takes great confidence to make a request like that. He had said before, we are able, let us go up at once and possess it. But now he's saying it again when he's there. And he went in with the help of God, not only to subdue it, but to conquer it. It takes great courage to accept the difficult when that which is less difficult is yours for the asking. You remember when Joshua stood before God that day as he was about to go into Canaan? And God said to him, have I not commanded thee, be of good courage? And the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that all any of us needs to know when we're facing the difficult? That we need to be courageous because we know we have the presence of God with us whithersoever we may go. I went overseas in the First World War. I was a chaplain for more than nearly 3 years, 14 months overseas. When we landed in Brest, 3,000 miles from home, we had 14 days in the crossing and several scares from submarines. We landed on a Saturday afternoon and marched out to the pontoons and barracks constructed by the Romans in the days of Caesar. And we pitched camp along the hillsides, and then I began to think about the tomorrow, which was a Sabbath day, the Sunday. And I went and see the colonel to see if we could have religious service on that Sunday. He says, certainly. You go out on Sunday morning and pitch the chaplain's flag where you think is a good place to assemble. We'll have the bugler to sound the church call, and all men who are not on duty, we hope, will attend your service. And then I went back to my tent and lay down on the ground to think in terms of what I might say to those men and to myself. Because I was lonely too. I was a young man, just 26 years of age. Never been so far from home, of course. Felt I too was among strange people. I wonder what I could say to them and to me that would help both of us, all of us. And these words came to me, have I not commanded thee? So on, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, we're so prone to sometimes think that we're leaving our God behind us when we go into difficult places. But when we can remember that wherever we go, he is with us to sustain us. Now we can't meet the difficult unless we do have the strength of the infinite with us. He has a great influence upon our character to know that we have him behind us, for it makes for strength within the individual. We are facing a world out there on tomorrow. It's even here today. That's calling for men, such as Holland speaks of in his little poem, God give us men, strong men, men who are courageous, men who cannot be bought, men who have opinions and a will, men who have character, men who have strength. It's so easy to go along in these days with a crowd and drift with them. It's so difficult to stand up for what we know is right and is wrong. You are going to be the leaders in the church. Today even, some of you are leading in churches, and tomorrow certainly. And the world tomorrow is very much like the world is today. And the church is in the midst of a world. The church of the living God is in the midst of the world today for the same purpose as it has been always. Not to conform to the world, but to transform the world. I like to think of this school as the school of the prophets. Of course you come to learn, and you need all the knowledge you can get. But knowledge may simply make you priests around the altar of God. You need more than that. You need more than just the knowledge of the New Testament and the Old Testament and all about the period in which these things were written and how to interpret this. We need all of that. We need that knowledge. But we need men and women today who are going to stand out and say, thus saith the Lord, not just to read. Thus saith the Lord, something that I know. I talked in the office of a dean just a little while ago, and Bishop Bourne and was there, and it ain't so easy for men to preach great sermons. It isn't difficult to preach a great sermon. You can go into your study and pull down tome after tome and get all the references you can from the reference Bible and so on, and if you've got any mind at all, you can sit down and write a fine religious essay. You can do it if you've got any kind of mind at all. And you can perhaps write a great sermon that would be a literary production. It isn't so difficult. But it's awful hard to preach a good sermon. And a good sermon comes out of your experience with the people with whom you are dealing. Sometimes, as one man has said, you need to take your chair out of the study and put it in the marketplace so that you can hear the heart, you can hear the heart-rending cries of the people, so you can sense their need, so that you can feel within you that you must administer to that need, and then you come back and some text will just jump at you, and you'll go out and you'll preach a good sermon. It's easy to preach what God did in Old Testament days, but you've got to bring it down to what God's going to do now. It's easy to talk about what Jesus did in his day, but will he do it today? You've got to have the experience within yourself to know that he will do it, because he had done it in and through you. There's a great difference between just getting facts and then knowing the truth. Now, they tell me that this is a fact, that one more than a half makes a majority. They say that's a fact. But I tell you of a truth, that one with God is a majority. That's the truth. Now, it's all right to know the facts. But the world today is not perishing because men lack knowledge of the facts. It's perishing today because men lack knowledge of the truth. The glow has gone out of most of our churches. The fires on their altars, if they're not out, they've been covered so that we cannot see their flame. We are the only group in the world, the Church of the Living God through Jesus Christ, whose one great imperative is to make good men. And what our world is crying for today is not more great men, but more good men. And the world is to perish before us. It's going to be awful, because we are in this business of helping to make men good. You can't help God to make good men unless you yourself are a good man, can you? You can't impart what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. If you haven't goodness, you know, we do more preaching through what we are than what we say. And I'm declaring unto you, it's so easy to conform. And so often the leaders of the church have become like that lizard that changes its color with every local environment. Have you ever seen that sort of person? There are a lot of preachers like that. Public speakers who are speaking for God like that. They change their color with every local community and every local situation. But you and I are to stand before the people and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, the Christian religion is the most revolutionary religion that has ever come upon this earth. The only accusation they could bring against Jesus and make it stick, you know what it was? He stirreth up the people. That's the only accusation they could make stick against Jesus. They talked about him making himself the Son of God and a whole lot of other things, and none of those accusations would stick. Of course he stirred up the people. He disturbed the status quo. And any time in this day in which you and I are living, you begin to tell men about their relationship to men, you're going to suffer. As long as Jesus talked about the love of God, how he made the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, as long as he talked about the goodness of God, oh, everything was just fine. You can do it today. You can go before your congregation at any time and preach about the goodness of God. And every one of us knows about the goodness of God. You won't stir up anybody. But when you begin to talk about man's relationship to man, that's morality. To me, I ought not to come here to talk about theology, but to me, my religion has only two aspects, piety and morality. Piety is my relationship to God. Morality is my relationship to my fellow men. You can be pious, and yet you can be very immoral. There are a lot of pious people. It's so easy, you know, to worship God. Jesus said upon one occasion, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I command you?" You can't really be religious until you can treat your fellow men right. And that's the thing we've got to preach before men today. Isn't that what is causing the revolution that's sweeping around our world today? Two things that we are responsible for. One is the democracy of America we talked about so much. We have gone around our world preaching about what it means to be in a democracy. All right, the world says, give it to us. And we're trying to stop it. Then we've gone around the world telling the people what the Christian religion says an individual is. Every man is precious in the sight of God. They said, if that's what your religion is, give it to us. And we're trying to stop it. Trying to stop people from being the children of God when we've said they are the children of God. You're going to face a difficult task out there on tomorrow when you go out to face this troubled world. You're going to find great difficulties in every church in which you go, in every community. But the men who stand out in all generations are not the men who conform, but the men who transform. A little while ago, when the Methodist building in Washington would not serve Negroes in its cafeteria, he did not run the cafeteria, he leased it. And Charles Weber came down to ask the bishop about it. And the bishop then of that area, some years ago, I'll not call his name, said, "We found these conditions in Washington, these customs. We don't make the customs of Washington." But Charles Weber looked him straight in the eye, as I think every man ought to look every other man in the eye, I don't care what his office is, and tell him the truth. He said, "But Bishop, the church is in Washington not to conform to Washington, but the church is in Washington to transform Washington." Isn't that what we are for in the world? We're going out there to transform that world. Don't look for the easy thing, young people. Look for the challenging things. Anybody can do the easy thing. America is becoming a nation of weaklings because we are depending too much on creature comforts. We buy the biggest automobile we can find. I say this to my preachers and use them to see how far we can get away from our congregations. We've got to have everything that everybody else has. I have a young man who's serving over in Norfolk, Virginia now. He's a graduate of the school, Godfrey Tate. Some of you taught him. Godfrey had a very fine parish in the Washington Conference, and we had this challenge from Norfolk. And I looked around to see a man who might go down there and begin from nothing. And I laid upon Godfrey and his lovely wife, Margo, and I said, "Will you go?" I told him what he was facing. "You'll get less salary than you're getting now, but we'll guarantee a living wage. You have to build a congregation from the bottom up." He said, "I'll go." He's been down there less than 2 years now, and he's stirring all the other preachers in Norfolk. They're talking about taking away their members and so on. He said, "I can't stop people from coming to my church because I have a program. I can't stop them from coming to my church because I'm preaching a gospel that the people want to hear." And he's gone, and he's happy over it. The challenge of the difficulty. And I like men who will come and say to me when I offer them an appointment, not what does it pay, but what are the opportunities for service? That's the challenge that we want. Caleb stood there and said, "Give me that mountain. Let me conquer it. Let me subdue it. Let me make it profitable." That's what we expect of you young people. Go out and make it profitable. And this is in closing. Those who have chosen the valleys, you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? He chose that rich soil of the valley. Abraham took the mountain. He became the father of the faithful. All generations rise up to call him blessed. So is your God in life. Don't look for the easy things. Look for the challenging things. Remembering that you and I are the church. We represent the church. The church is a living organism set in the midst of the world to make wherever we go a little colony of heaven there where we are. and the laws of heaven abide, rule in our hearts and in our lives. Remember that. You're not out there as any ordinary leader. You're out there representing the church of Jesus Christ, the exponent of the truths of God. Not the facts of life, but the truths of God. And they've got to be effective in your life before they can become effective in the lives of the people to whom you may administer. If you don't believe that one with God makes the majority, they won't believe. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou dost call us into service with thee, co-workers with Jesus Christ, thy Son. Give us the wisdom to understand thy will and give us the courage to do thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.